You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The guilty verdict for Dr. Tony Han, who is prescribing drugs for ADHD without going through the full official process, is drawing attention to difficulties in obtaining diagnoses and crucial medication for New Zealanders with the disorder. To get a sense of what these obstacles look like and how they're posing such a problem that an expert in the field found himself undercutting the system to get people the medication that they need, I spoke to Darren Bull, chairperson of ADHD New Zealand. I started off by asking him what obstacles exist in the current system.
The first step of getting a diagnosis is starting with your GP, and our research highlights that 26% of GP understand ADHD. The rest don't. So that's your first barrier, finding a GP that understands what ADHD is. And then the second is, if you're an adult, a psychiatrist is required for diagnosis, and there's wait lists up to 9 months, and there's parts of New Zealand where there is no one actually available to help. And then finally, if you are diagnosed, there's significant barriers to get medication and the support that you need.
What does it mean to understand ADHD? Is this something that's commonly misunderstood?
Oh, look, it's really misunderstood. There's 280,000 New Zealanders with ADHD. It comes with a lot of stigma. It comes with a lot of misunderstanding. And in particular, girls who are often, or females who are often diagnosed in their late teens or early 20s have had a lifetime of issues that has been completely misunderstood through the education sector.
Is it more difficult for women to get diagnosed with ADHD? And is it more difficult for people to get diagnosed when they get older? I sort of assume that it generally is kids that have ADHD, but that might be a bit of a misunderstanding based on these difficulties.
Yeah, so ADHD you have it for your life. And there are three types of ADHD, and the first type is attentive ADHD, and 90% of people with this type of ADHD are male. And that particular type of ADHD has symptoms, which means you have issues with emotional control, and you might stay with a stereotype, have too much energy. And because of that, these boys in particular struggle through the education sector, which means they get noticed. Girls, on the other hand, and females, they often have inattentive ADHD, which is 90% of those with inattentive ADHD, which are female. And what that means is they don't have the emotional energy issues that the first type of ADHD has, and they're often quiet, they're prone to daydreaming, but they still have significant issues with focus. Now, they get missed through the education system, and it's often when they turn 18, 19, leave school, or in their early 20s that they start to realise there are some issues. And then the third type is a combination of both. But it's certainly the adults with ADHD, it's probably about 180,000, 190,000 in New Zealand, and there's about 80,000 children with ADHD in New Zealand.
For those that have ADHD, how important is it to get diagnosed and to get medicated? Does this make a big difference?
Yeah, it's emotional. For those that have ADHD as an adult, it's often seen as a not guilty moment, is how I had it described recently, and it's significant. We know that 53-54% of people, adults with ADHD, also have mental health issues. So the quicker a person can get diagnosed, the reduction in harm that can be caused through those mental health issues, you can really start to look into that. In terms of medication, just because you have ADHD doesn't mean you need medication. And there are many other different ways, from looking at, say, micronutrition, the way you exercise, the way you manage things, or getting an ADHD coach or counsellor. We, ADHD New Zealand, supports a multimodal approach, which means, looking at all those different ways you can help to support your ADHD. In New Zealand, there's roughly 37,000 New Zealanders who are on ADHD medication.
How might the system be adjusted to get New Zealanders with ADHD the help they need to get past the barriers that you mentioned earlier?
Look, it's easy to stand back and say the government needs to fund more psychiatrists and psychologists and everything like that. But it's a system that needs changing in lots of micro ways. The first step is making sure GPs are well educated, for instance, and best able to give support right up to the way the medication is dispensed. Overall, both the health and education systems need to step up to it, have a greater understanding, and then provide greater levels of support.
Given that it is very difficult to access some of this medicine, particularly people going through the private sector, which is how you avoid really long wait times and that sort of thing, there's a huge amount of cost involved. Do you think more needs to be done to make this more accessible in terms of the cost or in terms of the sort of cost to time ratio?
Yeah, there are lots of people. About 55% of people who have been diagnosed in the last year have gone private. Now, first of all, the delays in the private sector are also just as enormous. There's, 6 to 9 months. In December last year, when we found out that there are no district health boards in the South Island offering adults, we actually, at the time, only found one private specialist who was taking on new patients. So it's a big issue. We know that the average cost is around $1,500, but costs can go up to around $3,000. I think what it speaks to is a different way of providing support. In particular, if you've been diagnosed with ADHD, you need to go back every 2 years and have a checkup with a psychiatrist. And for instance, if GPs were able to do that, that would relieve a lot of pressure on psychiatrists, and that would open up greater capability and capacity within the sector.
Do you believe that it is necessary still for drugs such as Ritalin to be regulated as heavily as they currently are?
Yeah, so right now they exist within a special authority process, which means only a psychiatrist, if you're an adult, can prescribe them, and there are some controls around how you can get them. We support the ongoing use of the special authority process, but there are different ways that it could be used. For instance, instead of doing a 2-year review, it could be 5 years. The ability to access medication in times of emergency, and to provide also not just a prescription for medication, but discuss with the patient some other different ways of doing things. One thing I will add is, in particular with children, there still needs to be a regular 2-year checkup. There are some particular side effects with the methamphetamine and dexamphetamine range of drugs, which means the specialist needs to make sure that things are still going well.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.